we begin to take each other for granted. So I think that we need to remember that, you know, the courting doesn't ever end. But the world gets in the way. You have children and jobs and things. Sometimes we forget that, you know, the courting doesn't end. And, you know, if the love is growing, you want to continue to let that person know how you feel about them. But I think the other thing that happens is the spouse assumes that. So, for instance, the husband worked hard all day at work, and he might be showing his love in that way. Or the wife worked hard at work, or whatever the case may be. They've done something else. They've made a meal or done something. And, you know, so we have to remind each other, too, you know, when you go for a walk, reach out and hold each other's hand and do those things that show each other that you do care. And I think, you know, Kenny and I, I'm not sure he's going to love the fact that I'm sharing this.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. For the Dr. Stem Show, we'll give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
Imagine a marriage, a relationship where your emotional needs are met. You and your spouse talk openly. You have fun on dates, and intimacy in the bedroom comes so natural to both of you. You are loving, you are loved, and you can't wait to see each other at the end of each exhausting day. And each minute that you are apart is so devastating to both of you, because guess what? You are a team and you are one. So whether you've been married for 6 months, dating for 6 months, dating for one day, 8 years, 20 years, 30 years, as our guest today has been married for, you can use this show today to enhance your marriage, to bring back the love and the fire, because this is February, the love month, where people tend to focus and celebrate on the red, which is love. But guess what? With my guest today, I hope that you'll be able to realize that February is not the only time that you need to bring back love into your relationship, your life, your marriage, that love should be an everyday, you know, thing that you practice and do for yourself and for your loved one. We're going to cover things that will cover communication, expressing love, making changes, sex and intimacy, dealing with criticism. Anything that has to do with a relationship will be covered during our candid conversation that we'll be doing. And I know one of the things that we'll do as well is touch a little bit on what Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Languages of Love, also talks about in his book. So I'm excited to have my guest with me today, Veronica King. We call her Ronnie. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
You know, I mean, it's an honor, actually, to have you come in here, because, you know, I know you've been married for 30 years. And my philosophy, you know, she's a good friend of mine from Boston, by the way, for all of you that are listening. You know, I call you from Boston, but it's Rhode Island, right?
Yes, I'm actually in Rhode Island.
But you know how we are. When we're out of Massachusetts, you know, everybody's from Boston. And then you go, what specifically in Boston? It's like, no, it's actually Rhode Island. So Veronica King is coming in from Rhode Island, and we are celebrating 30 years to your marriage, your loved one, your husband's name again, Veronica.
It's Kenny King.
Kenny.
So, and Kenny King. And so I often say Ken when I'm talking to other people and he's there, because I know he likes to be called Ken. But for me, he's Kenny. And he's really good with that.
That is so amazing. Let me just tell a little bit, you know, background about you. And you know what? Say thank you to Kenny and congratulations for these 30 years when you talk to him as well.
Oh, well, Thank you.
So Veronica, who we, you know, affectionately call Ronnie, is recognized by Continental Who's Who as a pinnacle professional in the field of food and beverage. She's the Senior Director Human Resources with Blount Fine Foods in Rhode Island. She has had many roles in manufacturing, starting on the production floor, working into responsible positions over her career. And she has developed unique insights into business from her multiple roles, developing well-rounded prospective food manufacturing and distribution. But what I want to recognize today is not the professional side of Ronnie. What I want to recognize and talk about is how Ronnie has been able to balance the professional side with her home life as well as her love life. Because I think what happens in the professional world, in the business world, is people wear that business hat, the business positions, and then it's so hard for them to come down and be real and be loving human beings that their husbands and spouses can literally relate to and associate with. And that's the thing that we're going to be focusing about, you know, with this professional woman who's profound in a business and has had many years as a business professional, but guess what? Is celebrating many years as a wife, as a mother in the home. So that's what I want, you know, the audience to be able to relate to, especially professional women that are in the business world, whether it's for yourself or you're working for a company. How do you balance it all? And how do you bring out that love part of you in order for you to have a relationship that is 30 years or even longer in your lifetime? So Ronnie, with that, I want to start with, you know, I mean, the balancing part of it, or of, you know, how you've been able to balance professional life and personal life.
Well, I think in our case, so much of it has revolved around the fact that we support each other being the best that we can be. And Ken is aware of who I am as a business professional and has always been my strongest advocate, my cheerleader, the person who, you know, always tells me that I can do it, even on the days when I come home and I feel like, oh, I'm not sure if I can do it. It's just so hard. And then, but he's always supported me and told me that I could do it and encouraged me. And that's really been a big part of, you know, for my portion of it, the perspective. So I know that he loves me for who I am and the woman that I am, not just as his wife and the mother of our child, but also as the business professional that I am. In the same way, I have given him so much respect. The work that he's done in the woodworking field, he's just so talented, and I have such a huge respect for the work that he does, and I always also encourage him and appreciate the work that he does. And so although we, you know, you don't always want to hear about each other's day because sometimes you've got your own things going on in your own mind, it taking the time to listen and encourage each other is a big part of, I think, where our successes come.
So, you know, thank you for that answer. So here's the thing, right? When you met Ken, were you already a professional business person that was already in the professional world? Or, you know, I mean, you developed and became this now, you know, director of human resources that you're at whilst, you know, when you were already married. How did you meet and where were you in that point of your life when you met him?
Well, 30 years ago, and actually we've been married 30 years, but we've been together about 33 years. So when I met him, I was not at all in a professional role. I was at an entry-level position in a manufacturing facility. And, you know, basically our parents, both of our parents had a very strong work ethic. And Ken and I are very committed workers and hardworking, you know, no sick days, all of those sorts of things. So we always have been driven to succeed at work, each of us. And through the process that I had, that I was able to go in and, you know, work into the next job and work into the next job, there's where he was supporting me all along the way, telling me that I could do it. And, you know, him also seeing a vision of my getting to the next level in any place that I was in an organization.
So, you know, in this conversation so far, I've heard, you know, some words that you continuously say that I want to emphasize to those that are listening, because I think it's very important that you have support is one thing that you have said, encouragement, respect, and care. And I'm sure that this will be recurring words that you continuously hear about getting the love that you deserve and being in that relationship that is long lasting. So the words support, encourage, respect, and care. So the other point that I know when we were preparing this that you mentioned, Ronnie, was marriage is not just, you know, 50-50, as people always say. For you, you said, you know what, it's 100% and divorce is 50-50. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because I like that.
Well, I think the way I look at it is when you are in a relationship, you don't only give half of yourself to that relationship. You are committed to your spouse. And one of the things that I've learned along the way, so as I didn't start out as a business professional when we were first together, I worked my way up. This learning to be married to each other is a working your way through it type of thing. And so, you know, I'd like to say that we communicate much better today than we did when we began our relationship. But along the way, I don't know that I knew that it was 100%. I would give, oftentimes I think when you start in a relationship or when you're very young, and I was younger, obviously, 30 years ago, that I was giving in a way that I wanted to receive as opposed to giving in a way that Ken wanted to receive. And so along the way, I learned that I was only partially giving of myself because I was giving because I wanted as opposed to giving because I loved this man so much that I wanted to give the way he wanted to receive. And so that's a part of the 100%. You know, it's, you give all. You don't, it isn't about, you know, I'll win this one, you win that one. It's, do I want to be in this relationship and have us be happy together?
That's very profound. That's very profound. I think, you know, I mean, to think of it in that way, I myself haven't thought of it, you know, in that manner. So what you're saying is, I mean, you know, the other thing that I was going to ask you actually, you know, with these points that you just made was, did you have, you know, where you went to the pastor before you both got married and had, you know, probably meetings and teachings with the pastor or preparing for your marriage at that time? Was that something that you both did?
No, actually, no. We didn't. So as a young woman, I came to know the Lord, and then I became that rebellious teenager and went off on my own. So when Ken and I came together, although I always knew the Lord, I wasn't hanging out with him. So when we came together as a couple, we weren't actively involved in a relationship with Jesus. And so we just kind of came together and figured it out as we went and listened to a lot of, you know, of the right, listened to a lot of good and encouraging individuals. But then as time went on and we came back to the Lord, that's when we got more of a faith-based community around us and looked for more answers in faith on how to, for me personally, how to be the wife that I should be.
So now having been, you know, married for 30 years, and as I said at the beginning, we're celebrating love, and what this means is now you have a little bit more wisdom, as you're saying, you know, you didn't do things the way that you're doing them now. Would you think that premarital counseling is something that you would recommend or you would do if you were to do it all over again?
I would like to say that, yes, I would, but I know that who we were at that time, we weren't there, but I think for any couple that is going into a relationship, it's an important aspect of it to really, you know, have a neutral third party who's helping you understand how you communicate and see that, you know, do you understand each other? And are you both looking for the same thing? I think that sometimes we come into relationships when, I can speak for myself, when I was a much younger woman and I was in, hadn't been in a relationship before I met Kenny, I was one of those young ladies who thought that, you know, we could, I'd fix what wasn't right about someone. And I think that's unfortunately an attitude that a lot of young women have coming into relationships. I love all these things about them, but we're going to fix these things. And you really get the whole package, and it's not our job to change the person, just to love the person that we're with. So yes, I would encourage a couple to look at counseling and ensure that they really are understanding each other and being open and honest and knowing how to communicate and make sure that they're on a similar path.
You're right, and you know what I like. The reason why I asked that question is because, as you know, I'm in counseling myself. I'm a counselor. So by the time that people decide to come and see a counselor is when they have problems. You know, at the 5 year mark, 7 year mark, you know, 20 year mark, 30 year mark, people now come in and they have all these things that have happened in their lives that now they're thinking, you know what, I can't handle this. And before, you know, they split, they get to go through a divorce, or they make a decision, they decide to come and see a counselor. And I commend those people. But some of these things, I think, you know what, at the beginning, at the very beginning, when we start talking about it, those were things that the man, you know, was expecting these things to happen. The woman was expecting these things to happen. And everybody assumed that we're going to correct these and, you know, change this. And I'll change him and I'll change her. And we're all going to get together. So I think, you know, for me, as a person, I highly recommend that people start talking to a neutral person. And in this country, we're so fortunate to have therapists and counselors that are there, as well as pastors that are there that are prepared to do, you know, marital, premarital counseling and ongoing counseling, so that people can continue to, you know, communicate at the same level. How important is communication in a relationship, Ronnie?
Communication. So I'm a big talker. So for me, communication is everything.
Yeah.
And I remember back to, there was one early in our relationship when we hadn't learned. And I want to express that we're still learning, because as you grow as an individual and as a couple, you mature and you still are learning. So I don't want to suggest that I think I've got it right, because we all have our good and bad days. And you know, the things that we deal with, some days we get it right and some days not so much, based on, you know, how exhausted you are and what's going on in the world and all of those things. But being a big communicator, and when you mentioned Gary Chapman, I'll just say now, and then we'll talk about it a bit more later.
Okay.
My love language is words of affirmation. So communication is critical for me. Early in our relationship, Ken and I had a disagreement, and we went 2 days without talking. And we both decided at the end of that 2 days that it was torture and we would never do that again. It was painful for both of us. We didn't know how to bridge the gap, but we knew that we had to get back to each other. And then we knew that we would never experience that again, because that's not who we are as a couple. We need to communicate with each other. Not saying we do it well all the time. Communication is one of those things, and I think it's critically important, and I work at it and try. But, you know, we're human beings. We come from different places. We communicate differently. We have different perceptions and things going on. So I might think I'm communicating perfectly clearly, but that doesn't mean the words coming out are able to be heard the way that my intent is. So for me, communication is critical, and I think it's something that you're always working on.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop, and also get the app. You can go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
So you mentioned the five love languages. For those of you that, you know, probably are not familiar with them, let me just, you know, list them, the five of them. The first one is, Ronnie just, you know, said that's hers, words of affirmation. So that means, you know what, it relates better when somebody's affirming her, or she's affirming someone, to, you know, telling them that, you know, the nice words and being kind and conscious. And then, you know, there's quality time that, you know, with some people, their love language is quality time. That, you know, they like to cuddle, they like to go out to the movies, they like to spend, you know, time with you. And then there's receiving gifts is the third one. You know, some people, their love language is when you buy them something, or they buy you something, they know that you care. So if you're one that would just tell them that they look good and you love them, but you don't buy them anything, then they don't feel the love. And then the fourth one is act of service. With some people, it's what you do. It's your actions that will tell them that you really do care. Let's say you're dating a man that has his own house, and you get to his house and he sees you cooking and, you know, helping out with the cleaning and everything. That's an act of service. And he thinks, oh, she loves me. And then, you know, you do the same for the wife, for the woman. You go to her house, you start, you know, the gardening, you help her out with, you know, putting stuff up. That's an act of service. Then they say, oh, this man really loves me. So there are different languages. The fifth one that he talks about in his book, The Five Love Languages, is physical touch. With some people, all the other four are okay, but then they need that physical touch. They need to be hugged. They need to be kissed. They need to be caressed. And that's how they know that you're loving them. So those are some of the five languages of love, you know, that I think are very helpful in couples to be able to relate to each other. Because if you know that you are an affirmation person, but you have a man who's an act of service person, then you have to work through to find what, you know, the bridge, as you mentioned, Ronnie, where can you bridge it so that I get my affirmations and you get your act of service? And then some days, you know, we switch roles, but that each person is satisfied. So it is work. I know the other thing that you had mentioned too is, you know, what are the differences in men and women as far as love is concerned, where you said, you know, the woman desires love and the man needs respect, and you were quoting from Emerson Eggerichs' Marriage Insight. So let's talk a little bit about that, what the different needs are.
My understanding of it, it's interesting. So, yeah. You know, to this place, so much of what's happened is, you know, you go out and you look for information that you know is true, you know is accurate, and that is going to help build up your relationship. And so when I read Emerson Eggerichs that talked about that men need respect and women desire love, it like just kind of resonated with me, thinking back to like our entire relationship. So for me personally, knowing that I have that love is so important. So I want to tie these two together. For instance, so for words of affirmation being critical for me, early in a relationship, when I was a much younger woman, I wasn't as secure in the relationship as I am today. After he's seen me through all the bumps and difficult times, and I know he's going to continue to be here. And for me, words of affirmation is so critically important. So I used to say, I love you, I love you, I love you all the time, because I wanted to hear that back. And what I know now is that I was saying it because I wanted it, as opposed to knowing what my husband wanted to receive. And over time, I learned what my husband wanted to receive. Now, respect for a man is critically important. And that means, you know, when he comes home from work, you appreciate the fact that he's worked hard. Even when he's not in a talking mood, you appreciate that he's worked hard. And you have to let him, he has to hear that you respect what he does and who he is as a person. And it's just rang true in our relationship. And when I read this, it's based on Ephesians. So I am a woman of faith, and so I will interject a little bit of that, because
yes,
I know that God has guided my relationship and guided me to have understandings based on his truth. And one of the truths of that is Ephesians 5:33, which says, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And when I looked at our relationship and I read that verse, I'm like, wow, over 2,000 years ago, God gave us one of the secrets to a couple being together in a relationship. Men want to know that they can provide for their family, that they are respected in the work that they do. They are looked at as strong and able and all of those sorts of things. So, you know, you could talk about the fact that if you've got a cold, you know, some women might think that men aren't great when they're sick. Well, when you think about it, that's cutting into who he is as a person, because he's now not strong. And for a man, being strong and able and respected for that is critically important. For a woman, knowing that she's now nurtured and loved, and you know, we all want to, we can talk about women's work, but we want to know that we're protected. We can lean into those arms, and he's going to hold us and the rest of the world is going to go away. So it was just so eye-opening for me to see that's what God told me, and that is something that I need to remind myself of. I can know it, but it doesn't mean I live it out every day without reminding myself of it.
It's very profound what you just said, because you know what? I think in a lot of relationships, it's lost in there where the woman's, you know, I mean, position as far as being in the relationship is going. I'm also a woman of faith, and I truly believe that with that kind of guidance, it helps us to bring ourselves, you know, in the right place in a relationship that, you know what, I'm the woman at the end of the day, and my man desires as a man, the way that he was created, is that he receives that respect in a sense that, you know, he feels that he's still the man in this relationship, that he's strong, that he's able to provide. And today, women, you know, we have, you know, jobs that mostly are higher paying for most women than the men. And I think this is causing a big problem, because now the woman is bringing back more bacon, as they say, you know, home, and the man is not, you know, probably doesn't even have a job, or is working a job that is less paying than the woman, and now there are problems because I bring more money and I need the respect, so you have to respect me because it's my money that I'm bringing in here. So that's a role reversal.
Well, and I think, you know, the job that we have doesn't define us. How much money we bring home doesn't define us.
Yes.
That doesn't identify who we are in the relationship. One having a higher ranking career or a higher income, that doesn't make your ranking in the relationship. The wife is the wife and the husband is the husband in a relationship. And that's the fundamental of where they need to be. And so if someone, you know, Ken and I have never looked at each other as what our job is. I mean, we respect each other for the jobs that we do and we encourage each other. But the job doesn't define who we are as people. Who we are as people is the person who interacts. You know, do you go in and do a good job? Not how much money you bring home. Are you committed to a job? Are you hardworking? Are you someone at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, you can say, I did a good job? That's part of the definition of who you are, but not how much money you make or what your title is. In the same, you know, so I guess I look at it that that's important, that what the role is in the outside world does not define me. Who I am to my family and my friends and those that I interact with, even in the grocery store, did I smile at that person who's in front of me and make eye contact with them when it looks like they're having a hard day? That is more of what defines me than what my title is as a career. Yes, I'm very committed to my job, and Ken's always been very committed to his work, and we strive to do it at a high level of excellence. But at the end of the day, it's the qualities of, you know, hardworking and whatnot that define us, not what the title is.
And that's why it's important, I think, today, Ronnie, that people bring back the fact that, listen, work is work and home is home. So I like the way that you say, do you know what? Listen, your job doesn't define you, neither does it define your relationship. Your salary does not define you, neither does it define your relationship. And when we could separate that and know that when you get home, especially you have a spouse or a significant other, what they're looking for is quality time. They're looking for the real you so that you can connect at every level. But most of the time now with today's world, we bring work into the home and then we forget that, you know what, whether the spouse understands our job or not, you know, they are probably still our best supporter and the best person that wants to be on our side if we allow them to be on our side.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I would say some of the most, some of the challenges that we've experienced along the way are because either one of us are going through a difficult time at work, whether it be that the workload is very heavy or just, you know, the types of things that can make, I like to say, occasionally, work is a four-letter word. And sometimes it's, you know, it's tough. And you go home at the end of the day and you're drained. And so you are looking at how do I, you know, okay, so I need to be, I'm not the person I need to be to my family and friends because I'm preoccupied. So I would say that that, you know, can be a challenge, but knowing that your love for the person that you are is so important.
So, you know, I mean, going on with that, you know, I'm going to go back a little bit on that words of affirmation, which was the love language number one. And I think for most women, you know, I'm not saying all women, but most women, and there's some men as well, that one, we fall into that one of words of affirmation. Because then some of the problems that I've seen people come in is, you know, I do my hair and I buy clothes and I'm looking good. And we walk out together. This is now the wife talking. We walk out together and I'll have people on the street says, ma'am, I love your outfit. Love your hair. Or we go to other places, love your hair. But I have a significant other or a husband who never said a word, you know, about me looking good or that my hair looks good. Men says the same thing. I have my hair cut, got my nice shirt on. You know, I'm feeling good, and I go out, and somebody else has to tell me, "Ooh, Mr. So-and-so, you look really sharp." And, you know, my wife never said anything, you know, about that.
Well, and that could be any number of things. It could be that the spouse's love language isn't words of affirmation. It can also be that sometimes we begin to take each other for granted. So I think that we need to remember that, you know, the courting doesn't ever end. But the world gets in the way. You have children and jobs and things. Sometimes we forget that, you know, the courting doesn't end. And, you know, if the love is growing, you want to continue to let that person know how you feel about them. But I think the other thing that happens is the spouse assumes that. So, for instance, the husband worked hard all day at work, and he might be showing his love in that way. Or the wife worked hard at work, or whatever the case may be. They've done something else. They've made a meal or done something. And, you know, so we have to remind each other, too, you know, when you go for a walk, reach out and hold each other's hand and do those things that show each other that you do care. And I think, you know, Kenny and I, and I'm not sure he's going to love the fact that I'm sharing this, but, you know, you could look at it as quirky, or you could look at it as putting that little bit extra into the relationship.
Okay.
Now, our schedules have been, we've been fortunate, we both work the same shift. Mm. We don't leave the house at exactly the same time, but we both work the same shift. Mm. And it's been close enough on start time that even if I didn't necessarily need to be up as early, I would get up so that we would spend a few minutes together before we leave for the day. So we're each doing our own thing, getting ourselves ready for work. But then we take a few minutes and we sit down together on the couch and just spend a minute or two together. And we always kiss each other
wow.
on the couch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's got to be that we hug before we leave the door. And whether when Ken was leaving first, I would stand at the door in the morning and wave as he was leaving and very often pray for his safety as he headed down the road. And yes. Now that I'm leaving first in the morning, he's walking me out to the car every morning. And, you know, those little things say I love you. And I think that when you really need to look at the things that are going right
yes.
and choose to do some of those things, but, and thank God for those. You know, I can focus on anything that I want to focus on. It's a choice. That's another big piece of it. Love is not, people look at it as a feeling. It's an action verb. It is a choice. You choose to give love to a person and you choose to do the actions that show that love. And that, but you also have to choose what you're focusing on. I can focus on whatever little nagging thing, you know, and we all got nagging things. I got a whole list of things you could find about me that could aggravate someone. Does my spouse focus on that, or do they focus on what they're happy about with me? And, you know, so, and that is really one of the key things that you have to decide early on, that you're going to appreciate what's good. If we have, you know, something that doesn't go well and I go talk to my friends about what he did wrong, then what am I focusing on? And my friends, they're going to, if I'm not hanging out with Christian women who help guide me to look at it as Jesus would have me look at it, my friends are just going to see my side of it. And then I'm going to be living in the negative as opposed to living in the positive of all the things that happen correctly. And we have to choose that early on, or else, as you said, a couple could get to you and they're far down the road in a relationship of not going well. And what have they been focusing on? Everything that didn't go well. And then it's going to be much tougher to get back to looking at what are the things that you loved about this person to begin with? What are the things that you respect about this person? What is the, how does this person feed you and fill you, and how do you do that back to that individual?
I you know, when I'm listening to you, I can hear a seasoned person. I know you said, you know what, we're still a work in progress, we're still learning. But the way that you put it is so nicely put, so that, you know what, we understand that this is from someone that has experienced it, that has seen what works. And as we are talking about love in this February month, I want to remind all of you that, you know what, each person, each couple, it's going to be different for you. But the keywords that keep coming up, you know, for some reason or one way or another, you need to make sure that, you know, they are worked into your relationship to make it the best relationship. That is appreciation, support, encouragement, respect, care, and commitment. With these words, when you are aware of them at every moment that you're communicating, that you're acting, that you're doing stuff with your loved one, I mean, they spell love, if I have to say that, you know what? The word love means appreciation, support, encouragement, respect, care for yourself and for another, and commitment. So I love the way that you put this, you know, together. And that's not cocky, because spending that quality time together in the morning and, you know, walking each other to the car, those are, you know, I mean, things that they're not little steps or little things that, you know, per se. Those are big things that add up to the years and also help you throughout the day when things get tougher to say, you know what, at least I know I have Kenny at home and he's going to embrace me and we're going to, you know, process this or talk about this, or I just feel good going home, you know, to him. And every man and woman wants that kind of environment where you can go back home and you can say, it feels so good to come home.
Yes. And now, would it be all right if I touched briefly on disagreement?
Let's go there. It's part of the relationship. Yes, because not every day is going to be a good day.
Correct. And so disagreements are, you know, come from all kinds of places. And I'm going to touch again on being a woman of faith. So one of the places that disagreements come from, so if you believe in God, then you know that there is an enemy that's out to attack us. And I think we forget that as we're walking through our daily lives, sometimes everything's fine, and next thing you know, you are aggravated with the other person. And you can't even really sometimes put the words into it. It was this one little thing or that one little thing. And so you're getting stirred up, and next thing you know, you're in a disagreement. On a good day when that happens with us, we may remember that Satan's out to attack us and try to get us in turmoil. And we'll just, on a good day, we'll say, all right, Jesus, we need some help with this one. We don't want this. We don't want Satan to be at all in our lives. And so that's one of the things that happens. Another thing that I found, so I think that is a beneficial thing when you're both kind of at each other. Another thing I found is that when we aren't seeing eye to eye and I want to just sit down quietly and hang out with God, it's really not important for me to tell God what I think Kenny did wrong. God already knows what I think Kenny did wrong. It's important for me to give God my heart and ask him to help me see clearly, because that's the heart that I really have to give for change is mine, and ask God to help me be the person that I want to be. And I can't tell you the number of times that we're just not meeting eye to eye. And I've sat down and said, all right, it's not what I want to do, because sometimes you have to do something even when you know it's right, but you're not quite feeling it. Like, okay, God, you know how I'm feeling here, but I need you to come in and help me see this clearly and help me be the person I'm supposed to be. And I am amazed the number of times that that has happened. And within moments, there's a transformation in myself that I release what I've been angry about and find that when I reapproach Ken, we're seeing eye to eye. And so I think that it's so important to remember that it's not about fixing what the other person did. It's about being the best person you can be. And that will impact how things are going in the relationship. So how you pray is important. one of the things that a book that I read a number of years ago and need to pull out again is The Power of a Praying Wife by Strollo Martin.
I love that.
And it really speaks to the wife about how, and they've got one for praying husband and, you know, praying parent and all those things. But it really teaches a woman how to pray, because I think so often we want to go to God and say, okay, would you fix this about my husband? And as opposed to, okay, I'm folding his socks, and I'm going to thank God for the fact that he has strong feet and he's a strong man, and I'm going to pray that he continues to have that strength. Or I'm doing the dishes, and I'm thanking God that he appreciated the meal that I made. And so how we pray, are we praying from an attitude of gratitude, or are we praying from, go fix this thing that isn't the way I want it? But this is, that person is who they're supposed to be, and we're not all worked out. I have plenty of things that God is continuing to work with me on, and so it's up to God and Ken to work on Ken, and it's up to God and I to work on me, and then we'll come together as the best people we can be together.
Yes, yes. And I think we, you know, we with that, you know, it brings back again communication, you know, that we spoke about earlier on how key communication is, because when it comes to disagreements, when you're already, you know, communicating well with your significant other and the two of you understand each other's pet peeves, each other's needs, and who they are, you know, sometimes it helps when it comes to the points of disagreements and working it out together. Because, you know, both of you are not afraid to apologize. You're not afraid to listen to the other person, even if you know that, you know what, I know this is annoying me even more, but if it's going to get us to a point where we can get to an agreement, even if it's agreeing to disagree, then, you know, help me, Lord. Give me the strength to be able to listen to this, because communication, what communication does, it helps the two of you, you know, clarify and talk about your feelings freely, talk about, you know, what it is that you need freely with your partner. But when a person cannot come to you and communicate what they are feeling or what makes them upset or what they're worried about, fear, what they're worried about, I think that's when we start hearing about them going out and finding somebody else that can listen to them, that they can talk to without judgment, without feeling resentment. And that's another thing that I think, you know, we could emphasize, you know, for people to say, you know what, when you start going out and you hear yourself talking about your spouse or talking about the things that are happening in your household, then you know already that you're talking to the wrong person, because the person that you need to talk to is that person that you're living with or that you're in love with.
You are tuned in to the Dr. Stem Show. To reach Dr. Stem or her guest, please email us at drstem@americaoutloud.com. Now, back to Dr. Stem for more support, confidence, and hope.
You know, for me personally, I don't want anyone else to see my husband in a negative light from a very early time on. And so I didn't take that out and, you know, this, do you want your mom or dad to hear the thing from you, the child that they love, that made you angry with your spouse? No. Why would you ask your parent to, or a friend, to see your spouse in a negative light? This is the person you love, the person you should build up with others. And, you know, so that's one of the things, the communication, not going out into the world, because you're always, you can always find somebody who's going to agree with you on the outside world. Your relationship, the fixing of things, needs to be done internally together, not out there in the rest of the world with people who want to be caring when you tell your side of the story. Because what my side of the story is only my side. It doesn't share what, you know, when I was snipping or not a pleasant person or in pain and said some hurtful words. I'm not sharing that if I was out sharing. So I think that we all need to start at a place to say, this is the person that I love and I respect. I don't want anyone else to hear negative things about them coming out of my mouth. And if it got to a point where you needed assistance with the relationship and the communication, that should be done in a confidential, with a confidential third party, whether it be a pastor or a counselor, so that your relationship can get past it and recover and grow, not that you've been out there trash-mouthing the person that you love.
So I think, you know, the other thing that, I mean, as a woman of faith and also a person that has been married for, you know, a long time, 30 years that we're celebrating, you know, of your wedding anniversary. If you were talking to young women out there that, you know, are just starting off and, you know, they have a young man, maybe who's disrespectful, that talks to them a certain way, their voice is raised, they expect it to do certain things where in their heart of hearts, they know something is not right about this, but they still continue to stay in it. And they're looking for someone, some support, something that somebody can say that can help them see what they're seeing and also, you know, probably have the courage to take themselves out of this relationship. What would you say?
Oh, my. That's a deep question.
Right?
I think that if someone were coming to me personally,
yes,
I would ask some questions about what that person's support system is to find out where they're getting supported and maybe offer some encouragement to find some of the right support that can help this person. Ask themselves the questions that will help them see whether or not they are in the right relationship. No one should be in a relationship where they are being made to be someone they're not, or negativity is being placed upon them. That's not okay. The male shouldn't be yelling, and nobody should be yelling. However, there are many people who come from families that are very passionate and loud when they speak. It's not my style. But I think you need to be in a relationship where respect is being given back and forth. And if someone can't give you respect, you really need to look at it and say, because it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
Where you start out is, you know, the underlying things of the personality of the person are there. And, you know, when it's, and it almost sounded like you was, you know, on the border of abusive, and that's never going to be okay.
Yeah.
No one, neither, you know, a man shouldn't go into a house, you know, shouldn't be yelled at every day by the woman, and the woman shouldn't be yelled at by, that's not a good thing. We should be building each other up. If this person isn't helping you be your best self and your better than, you know, you are on your own, then you really need to question why you want to do it.
And you know what, I just needed to throw that in. That was a great answer of, you know, how you would even have them look at themselves and have them assess who their supports are and really take a look at, you know, what they deserve, because everybody, you know, deserves to be loved. And as you mentioned, marriage or relationships, you know, they're not 50-50. Divorce is 50-50. But marriage and relationships, good relationships, are 100%. And men and women, both of you can always tell when you're not getting 100. You can always tell when you're not giving 100, you know, because then you have to look at yourself as well, that you're not giving 100. But you know what? Domestic violence and, you know, not getting the true love. That's a whole show. I can do a whole show, maybe even one or two shows about it. But today I wanted to talk about keeping and maintaining that love and celebrating the love that you have and the love that you deserve, because we do have someone who has been married for 30 years. So I just wanted to pick on her and figure out what works, what didn't work, and how they got to 30 years. And some people can even do 5 years or even 10 years, but to maintain that 30 years, because we have people that are staying in those relationships and the fire is not burning anymore. It's long gone, but they're still in that relationship. For what? They always go, I don't even know why I'm in it as well, but I'm here, but there's no fire in this relationship.
Well, again, I think that, you know, it's an intentional act. It's, you know, I've heard from people, well, I just don't feel that love anymore. Well,
exactly.
What are you doing to fan the fire?
Yeah.
I mean, fan the flame. What are you doing to build that up? You know, that's so critically important that, you know, people are looking at, you know, it's an action. It's not just that initial feeling that, you know, we get when we're, you know, teenagers and everybody's all giddy and everything. That's, that's a hormonal thing that's out there to, you know, make sure that people were getting together early on. But love, true deep love, is it's, you know, I want to say it's work, and but it's not work that's hard work, but it's something that you choose to do and that you're committed to doing, and that's where I think it's the work. Because some days you just don't feel like bringing it. Some days you just want to, you know, sit in the corner and have it be all about you, and that's when it becomes that it's work, but it's worth it. The work is worth it.
The work is worth it, you know, true that indeed. And especially when you understand that it's not work that is exhausting work. It's work that brings back, that brings joy in your heart, in his heart. And it's something that's exciting that, you know what, you're sharing your life and your love with someone. So it's not supposed to be stressful work that's stressful. Are there going to be days where it's stressful being in love with someone and being in relationship? You heard Ronnie say that, you know what, there are days that disagreements come and there are days that an ugly side of you comes. But I think it's the comeback of that human, you know, you bringing back that human side of you that apologizes, that says, you know what, I know I was wrong, but I still care about you, you know, in a sense that I'm willing to apologize. How big is friendship being, you know, having your spouse as your friend that you care about? How big is that in a relationship, Bronnie?
Well, to me, that's critical.
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to say for over 30, you know, for 30 years now that I married my best friend. You know, he's the one who's going to hear, you know, the stuff that's going on and the joys and the fears and the concerns and all of those things. And we like each other, you know, which is a pretty good tip. You know, we like each other and we like the people that we are, you know. And, you know, all right, so yeah, some days I'm not that likable, but he continues to like me anyway.
Yeah.
And for me, friendship is, it's very important. And, you know, it's critically important. And in friendship, you always want what's best for your friend, and you know, encourage them to do things that make them happy. And, you know, so it's friendship, love. I guess they just kind of all blend together for me.
You're right. And what I like about being a friend, if we put that in as a prerequisite to say, you know what, I'm marrying my friend, my best friend, but a friend, it means that, you know, you're willing to take their word before you can take the next person's word, that their word is bond. And when somebody trusts you that your word is bond, then you're obligated as a person as well to always be on the truth side, because this is your friend as well. You don't want, you know, her or him to believe in you and then you're not telling the truth, but the other people are actually telling the truth about your actions or, you know, things that are happening in your life. And that's why it continues to be a commitment for those people that go out, have a relationship, or get tempted to talk to someone else. It's that friendship that keeps them in that bond, that keeps them from, you know, doing, going ahead and having an affair or having a relationship, because they have this commitment that they made to this special person that, you know what, I'm always going to tell the truth and I'm always going to make sure that as much as I can, when this love is still going on, that I tell you the truth and I love you first before I can give my love and share my love to someone else. And that's why we have women and men that are so bitter when this contract and this agreement is broken, because I waited and trusted in you with my whole life and my whole being. And then you decided to break this cord because you were no longer my friend. You no longer looked out for my heart. You no longer looked out for my feelings in the way that I feel. And with that, you know, it just having that friendship, you know, that feeling and that thought that, you know what, that's my friend, I don't want to hurt them. That's my friend, I want to love them. And that's my friend, I want to spend quality time with them today. Let's go in the garden, because I know you guys love the garden, right? Let's go in the garden and just spend time outside today.
Yes, we love it being in the yard. And I affectionately say, I love playing in the dirt.
There you go.
And to get down on your hands and knees and play in the dirt. And I'm fortunate, I live in New England, and in New England, the dirt has like such a rich, beautiful smell.
Yeah.
One of my favorite smells is freshly turned over garden, and then a light rain happens, and it just smells so beautiful. And it's so much fun, you know. Yeah, we each have our own parts of the garden. It's we do things the way it works for us. So Kenny plants the beets and I plant the peas. And, you know, and so we each have our own separate pieces of it in the garden. And, but we enjoy it and we enjoy seeing the fruit of each other's labor. And, you know, it's something that we grow. When we're picking beets in August, yeah. we have some of the beautiful those beets look. And then we take pictures and post them on Facebook. And, you know, we laugh about the fun stuff.
That play, the word play itself, play. You know, I think it goes into all the five languages, whether it's words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, whether it's physical touch. If you add that word play in every, you know, however you like to receive your love, but make it playful, you know, and allow yourself and allow your spouse, your significant other to be playful. I think that goes a long way when it comes to separating between professional life and personal life, don't you think?
Oh, certainly. You know, and play and I think it's joy and it's gratitude. So, all right, so we have a garden. Now, we don't have to have a garden, but I could look at the garden as a chore.
Yeah.
Or I could look at the garden for the joy we have. Interestingly, so we live in the country, and I enjoy hanging laundry out. People look at me and think I'm a little tapped in the head, I think, because I hang it all year round in the winter.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it because it gets me outside on days that I wouldn't get outside. And so I find great joy in being able to do this. And so, and it's fun, and I play, and I'll, you know, see the birds and hear the birds sing or whatever. So I think it's the play and the laughter and the joy that you bring into looking at things and seeing how much you have to be thankful for when you have it.
I'm a romantic at heart, so I think all the five, at one point or another, I want all five of them, and I give all five of them, you know, to a loved one. So I'm going to end this show, this Valentine's month and Valentine's year and Valentine's, you know, decade, because I believe Valentine's Day should be every day, every moment that you're with a loved one. So I'm going to read a poem that I am encouraging, and hopefully every one of you can go back to that first time that you met your loved one, to that first time that you say to yourself, you know what, I'm truly in love with this man, I'm truly in love with this woman. So it's a love poem that says, I fell deep in love the first time I saw you. Your love, my darling, made me feel so beautiful and new. It feels so wonderful to see your pleasant face. It makes me feel like kidnapping and taking you to some other place where there will be no one to disturb us. It'll be just you and me in never-ending bliss. You are the only one in the world whose love comes for without a price to me. Thank you, my love, for giving me the taste of paradise. I love you so much more than you can ever know. In your love, sweetheart, my heart will always glow. Thank you, Ronnie, for gracing us with your presence today.